All right, welcome back, Square Footers. We are going to be talking about automation today. We have Wilton Rogers, who is an automation expert, and he's been an entrepreneur for many, many years. We're going to dive deep into how he is going about automating all types of businesses and what those processes and systems look like. So this is going to be an episode that you are not going to want to miss if you have a business that is incredibly manual processes right now, things that are done over and over and over again. Those are the types of things that you want to be able to look into automating. I'm Matt Shields, founder here at Invest in Square Feet, and we are on a mission to help business owners and high net worth individuals invest passively into real estate. And these real estate opportunities are not just any deal. These deals have actually survived a 183-point due diligence process where we dive deep on the area, the opportunity, the sponsor, their track record, all kinds of different things. And we bring these out to our investors to be able to expose the best of the best real estate opportunities that are out there. So if this interests you, go ahead and head over to Invest in Square Feet and cruise around there. You'll be able to figure out what to do.
Yeah, again, the service part, right? What happened was, like I said, I've been a serial entrepreneur. I've owned a fitness studio, a cell company, a mortgage company, production company, and I've owned these companies, and I've always had that spirit. After my last venture, which is fitness studio, I sold the fitness studio. I was just trying to figure out what I wanted to do. And I've always been a small business owner. What I mean by small businesses, I've never had more than 30, 40 employees. And at that time, I was like, okay, what I want to do, I want to continue servicing people. I heard about automation, specifically it's called RPA, Robotic Process Automation. And when I sold my company, it was an automation company, and it was a startup. They said, hey, we're looking for a VP of sales and marketing. We want you to apply for this job. I saw what it was doing. I was like, oh, this is a game changer. This can just change what everybody's doing. So I jumped into it, not knowing it was only for the enterprise world. At the time, I was like, okay, I want to bring it down to the small business. And they're like, you can't do it. They can't afford it. It's hundreds of thousands of dollars. I said, well, it has to. And he goes, and I could, at the time, I looked everywhere, talked to people. It wasn't happening. So I was still selling to the enterprise world. But at that time, I was like, okay, let me learn as much as I possibly can, because there has to be something out there that's going to service smaller businesses. And after talking to people for about a year, I learned about some software. I introduced it to a couple of friends that I knew that I owned businesses, saying, hey, you don't have to pay for it. All you got to do is pay for the software, pay for the developers to develop it, and you can own it. Long story short, it helped them automate a lot of their processes, save them hundreds and hundreds of manual hours by automating these processes. I was like, okay, this is good. So I took it to the board to show them what we were doing. They said, no, we're in the enterprise world. They were making millions at the time, but like, no. So my contract was up. I said, okay, so I asked my wife, want to move back home? We're from Albuquerque, New Mexico, and we're living in Houston at the time. And she goes, yeah. So we moved back home and I started my business and started from the ground up. And the reason why I did that is because, and I had no technology experience. To this day, I can't build a bot. I have a team that knows how to build the bots, but I understand where to look for these opportunities to help them streamline their businesses, because I've built processes for 30, 40 years already. I've built business processes. So I get the logic behind it all. And so when I was able to see that I could help out businesses and speak their language, all I had to do was build a team that can build it, have a team that can build it. So that's what I did. And the reason why I did it, again, small businesses, I know how much time and effort, how many hats you have to wear just to run a small business. Mm-hmm. And if you could eliminate 30% of their work, you're saving them a third of their week. That could do a lot with that time.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, this is something I want to do. And that's how I fell. That's how I fell into automation. And then now I started this back in 2019, which no small business really knew what we were doing, this type of automation. Now it's part of the language. People know, hey, I need automation. I need processes that I need. I need manual processes that I need to be streamlined. Can you show me how this can be done? So now it's starting to come up with smaller businesses. We're still in the mid, what I would say, small businesses from 150 million to 200, 300 million. But even the solopreneurs and the businesses that are making 100, 500,000 or $1 million a year, those businesses are taking full advantage of it now and profiting off it. So it's been a game changer. It's been a long haul, but what I found out is that once you know how to educate them and give them the knowledge that they need to understand what we do, it's easy. It's, again, it clicks and the wildfire takes off again. Like, you can automate this. You can do this now. You can do that because they understand it now. So building that library of education first was tough, but I knew at the end of the day, okay, this is going to be a game changer for small businesses for a long time, because that's the heartbeat of our country, small businesses.
Yeah.
And it's like, no one's tapping into that. Someone needs to tap into that. So I took a leap of faith and went for it. And that's how I got involved with automation. And I feel like this is my calling, and because I want to see other businesses successful. And if I can help them be successful by showing how they can take away not only their time, but their team's time away so they can do more productive tasks, then I'm going to do that.
Yeah, that's amazing.
What happened.
So are you focused in on specific verticals right now, specific industries, and you're automating tasks in those industries? Or is the software smart enough where someone can come in and program it, code it, what have you, to take care of, call it custom tasks on a business-by-business basis?
Great question. It's more of the latter. Everything's custom, right? But we have picked up some verticals that have taken off. So we have about four or five verticals that have picked up some speed, and we have a lot of use cases and a lot of development going on in those areas. So yes, we have seen some verticals take off, but it happens for any business. And what I mean by that is, if you're sitting behind a computer more than an hour, 2 hours a day, I'm pretty sure there's some stuff that can be automated that can take some of your time away, right? And that's where we start. Okay, what are you doing? Who spends time behind the computer? Because if you start talking tech, we do this for invoices. We do this for other data entry. We do this for inventory. We start naming all these things. People are like, yeah, I do it, but it doesn't really happen like that for me. So we figured out, I was like, okay, what do you behind the computer? What is your team do behind the computer? What would you want to get off your plate if you said, oh, I don't want to do that anymore, which you wish someone else can do? Tell me about that without mentioning any technology. When you do that, and then you can show them exactly what automation could do for that, they automatically feel that pain point going away. Okay, I feel the relief from getting that off my plate. So for us, that's where you want to touch them. So it can work for any business, because all businesses have manual processes that they're doing that are repetitive, that are rule-based. Every business does. Mm-hmm. And so if you have an accounting department or invoicing or billing or a data entry or data extraction, all the different things, those are all things that can be automated that no human should be doing anymore.
Yeah.
And so those are the areas that we attack. So to answer your question, there are some verticals that have taken off, but it can work for any company in any industry, any size.
Yeah, that's interesting. What does the platform look like? Is there a large learning curve, right? All companies are going to have their own unique ways of doing things, and maybe they've got different flavors of doing the exact same things. They've got their own acronyms and their own ways of saying things. Is there a level of customization where you can literally program it to do however the company runs and what their process flow looks like? The lead or the customer or whatever goes from this person to this person, and this person does this and this, and that goes over here. Is that what it looks like, or how does that come together?
Yeah, I love this question. So the way it goes is, let's say you have an assistant, right? And you say, we have an assistant that has to take this entry stuff from this PDF and put it into this Excel. You got to put it in CRM. From the CRM, you have to put it into the software. They have to email it out to everybody else. Then that person, you have to wait for that person to take a look at it to make sure everything looks good, and they have to send it out to everybody. We find out all that, right? All of that is in a digital format. Mm-hmm. Once it's in the PDF or Excel, once you get it from there, we can manipulate the data to do anything. So the bot, we call it a bot. It runs on a computer, so just a regular desktop computer or a virtual machine. And you put whatever applications have to be part of that process on that computer. And the bot will go in between all those and complete the process for you, like it's a human would.
Got it.
So at that point, you take out all the human elements out of it. Because all you're going to do is show the bot what to do. So the bot goes here. All the rules what the bot needs to know. If it doesn't happen there, go grab it here. If it's not there, get it here. You have to go to these 50 places to get that information. If it's not there, you got to go. You show it everything it needs to know. And it follows exactly that format, that process. And if it doesn't know, if it hasn't been already built in, the rule hasn't been built in, it'll get kicked back to you and say, hey, I don't know what happened there. You never showed me this. And then you have to walk through it and do it yourself, which we show you exactly what you need to do. And the bot will register to record that. And the bot will remember next time. Okay, next time I have to ask you this question ever again. So it'll do it for you. So it runs on your computer. The bot is yours. It's in your environment. So there's no information leaving. You know, it's just like an assistant working from home. Give them a computer, give them all the applications they need to start from the beginning to the end of the process. What is that? Same thing with the bot. All you got to do is give it a VM or give it a desktop. You can log in, remote in to the desktop if it wants to, work for you. And it's all within your own environment. So that's exactly how the bot works. And it works. And you can actually see the bot running. If it's on a computer, just a basic computer, and that bot's running all the applications on there, you can actually see the bot just rolling. And it runs as fast as the application and your service allows it to run.
Interesting. So if we had, I'm just picturing like a Google Sheet, for instance, some type of web-based Google Excel program. Could it launch that new program, enter in data into specific cells, and then click over into this other one and into this other sheet and enter in some more information there and then email that off to someone else? It's literally being trained essentially on exactly how you do things. So you would need the initial platform or platforms there for it to be able to learn and train where to push, parse, read, look for information, and then what to do with that information. Basically, you're training all of that, correct?
That's it. That's exactly it. And the great thing about it is that every business already has that because their business is already running. They already ran their business using those platforms. So just show us your current logic that you're currently doing. And the bot will do exactly that. Now, there is some process improvement that we do, but we don't stop building the process to fix those. We say, let's just fix, if it's working, let's automate it. Mm-hmm. And the process, we'll figure out ways to improve it, whether it's improving, taking away, we don't need the Excel anymore, we don't need this program anymore because we can go straight from here to here, we can do that. But we don't switch anything up at the beginning because we want to make sure that process is fully running, and then we could do what's called process improvement. We can improve that process to make it faster, to make it more seamless, to make it more productive and things like that, to be able to handle more volume at a faster pace. So we'll start working on things like that afterwards, but we do everything internally. So you don't have to worry about that. It's like we're your automated assistant. Just shows what you want done. We'll get it. We'll support it. We'll maintain it. You don't have to worry about this anymore ever again.
Yeah, that's interesting. And if you have, like you said, you give it a station to be able to work at, I imagine it's basically just like having a human sitting there, right? So that human is going to enter in all the information, push it and enter it in wherever it needs to go. Are there tasks, like I'm picturing some of our clients and how they do things, right? So they might be answering the phone calls, or let's just say we can start from the right from the very beginning. There's someone who's scheduling appointments and that's going into the system. And then a salesperson goes out to that appointment. And if the project sells, then they enter more information into the system. And then that goes over to another department who then starts applying for loans and all of that type of stuff. And assuming all the loan stuff goes through, then it goes over for production, and production schedules the install with the client, and then they follow up with payments and all that type of stuff. In that process where there's this in and out, where there's communication happening back and forth with the client, obviously that's mostly going to have to still be on the phone, and then a certain amount would be entered into the computer. But I guess what I'm getting at, are there any things that you should be looking for as these are the stoppers, if you will, where we can work up it to this point, and then we need to let the bot take over, and then it can do so much here, and then we need to take over here. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. Yeah. So I'll give an example, like tenant screening or background checks or, I don't know, communication and client update, different things where you have to communicate with a client, right? That's what's great about automation is that when you put a human in front of a human, you're going to build that relationship, right? But when you build that relationship, you're grabbing information from that person. Mm-hmm. All that information you're grabbing, when you put it into somewhere that you need to verify, whether it's their background, their credits, their whatever the case may be, that automatically the bot can go and do that. Setting up, if you have to do an inspection, all that a bot can do. Anything like that, the bot can do. He's got to put it in there. Know who are your inspectors, right? If it's like a real estate or anything like that, it's like you go into, you put it in there, bot will go out there. Here's an inspector. He's not available. Go to this inspector. That one's available. Here comes the price. Back the price. Do you want to approve that price? Yes. If not, it'll go to the next one. So it builds all that in. So a human doesn't have to make those calls and keep doing those things, mm-hmm. right? It keeps you in front of the client. Okay. All of a sudden, everything looks good. And the salesperson closed that deal, right? That person closed that deal. All this paperwork goes in, right? Sales orders or whatever the case may be, all this thing has to go in, complete everything. All that the bot can do for you. So again, you're staying in front of the client, right? So there is anything that you want to, that the bot can do is usually human to human interaction, right? Because the bot can do a human thing. It can't relate and build that relationship with a human, right? But it gives you more time to be able to do that. Because when you're getting all that information from them, the bot's sitting behind you and say, okay, I got that. I'm going there to take that. I'll take that from you. I'll go email that. I'll go send that out. I'll go text that. It'll do everything for you. So there is, especially in real estate, in property management and things like that, that we work in, there's a lot of that the human handle it, put it into a digital format, the bot will take care of it. Okay, we got everything, kick it back to the human so they can verify everything with that client. Yeah, everything looks good except this. Click on that. Okay, fix that. And I'll send it back to the bot to go ahead and prepare all the paperwork.
Interesting. Have you found anything that couldn't be done? Obviously, if it's a manual task, it's a manual task. But have there been anything that you thought could have been done but proved, I'll say, more difficult or not able to be done with this at all?
With the help of AI now, because we integrate a lot with AI, we could do a lot more. But what I know for a fact that automation can't do is grow a company, right? So anything that's going to help you grow the company, like sales, selling, marketing, people are trying to do a lot of automation and marketing, which there's still some, but there's still some human elements that have to be part of that because there's their decision-making. So anything decision-making or having to communicate certain specific things to someone, those things, automation or AI really can't be. They can give you some input. AI can give you some input on what to do, but they're not going to be able to do that for you. Mm-hmm. So decision-making, things like that, obviously it's not, but that's why we know automation can help businesses grow. Cause when you make decisions for a company and spend your time doing that, it does all the manual type process behind it. So any type of things like that, human elements that have to be involved, that's where technologies has to take a back seat. And people are really trying to figure out a way to improve that, but you're never going to, a bot or automation or AI is never going to be as good as face-to-face conversation or ever. And while I won't say a lot of things have changed, for the most part, we still love talking to people, and that's how that trust has to come in. What you do behind the client really doesn't matter because they trust you that everything working behind you is going to be okay. So decision-making is huge. And that's one thing that automation can definitely not do.
Yeah. Interesting. Would you say that but obviously you've done this across different types of industries and that, would you say that there's an average or percentage, an average percentage that most companies have that are currently manual processes that can be automated, would you say?
Yes. What's great is that I made a post today that about 97% of small businesses still have a minimum of 30, more than likely 50 to 90% of the businesses that are still not automated. So when you look at it, it's like if you own a business and you sit down and say, okay, I have automate. I have this software. I have this automation software that's taking QuickBooks, or I have all this, everybody things that you have QuickBooks, your account is automated. That's 15% of your automation. There's so much that goes into it, right? So you have all these different software that's helping you streamline your company, which it does help. But if you sit back and you realize what we're still doing behind a computer, I guarantee you at least 30% of your business is done behind that computer, a minimum. Mm-hmm. And most of that can be automated. So I would say, to answer your question, most companies, I would say, I have not come across a company when I really know what they do that we have not found multiple processes that we cannot automate. So I would say, I guarantee you, anybody talking right now, if they own a business, at least a minimum of 30%, if not more, of their company can be automated today. And what I mean by automated can be automated within months, not within years. It just shows the process, you can get it automated.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And that 30%, how would that drop down to the bottom line? I'm curious if there's an average savings that people can expect to save. If it's a 30% savings, or is it a percentage lower than that? Or any idea as far as what that looks like?
Yeah, what we do, and this is, everybody's a little bit different, but from on average, most of our clients, they see a return on their investment within 3 months, 100% investment. So let's say that they're working on a project, or they have a process that takes them X amount of hours to do, and it costs them to do this $20,000 a year worth of manual work to do this, mm-hmm. right? Usually that project might cost about $5,000 a year to automate. So they're saving $20,000, $15,000, whatever the case may be, just by automating those manual hours. So you'll see that return. That's just dollar for dollar. That's manual hours for automation hours, right? So automation time. But the biggest value is when you see that employee not having to do that anymore, because most of the process that we automate, those employees already know going in their day, how it's done, what they need to do. They wake up, they probably think about it when they're in this shower, they're probably doing all these different things. When you take that away from them mentally, physically, and emotionally, the creativity that they have to move forward onto something else, they never have to worry about that again, ever again. That ROI is a lot bigger than the financial ROI for a company. Yeah. And that's what we found for small businesses. To answer your question, I think that's probably the power in it. But the ROI that we've seen now, especially for small businesses, and the way we built our service model, is that you're going to see that ROI within a few months.
Yeah,
financially.
Interesting. So I'm going down the path of, call it, change management as well. A lot of people resist change, and I can see how people may feel that I'm teaching this bot how to do my job, essentially. If I do that, I'm going to be without a job. So any thoughts on what a good change management practice looks like there? Because I would imagine that a lot of companies have a lot of people that are just doing all of these very routine things, pushing a bunch of buttons, pushing mouse clicks all day. And maybe that's the only thing that person does right now. So you could be working, or they could be showing the person or the bot how to do their job, and then they're out of a job. So I'm curious what you've seen from that type of mentality. And I would say that it's a small-minded, closed type mentality, but I'm sure that employees are going to have that. So I'm curious what your thoughts are along those lines.
Yeah, great question. Let me give you two parts of this. Automation is going to take away tasks, take away what people are doing. It's happening now, it's happening in the future, it's happening in the past. It's happening. What we found out with small businesses is that individuals like to feel valued. When you're doing routine work every single day, data processing and things like that, there's no real value out of that. Mm-hmm. So if you've already built that person to say, hey, what are the things that you can do that you think you can do for the company that being valued, and start focusing on that, allowing them to be able to put their input in to, they can actually start seeing I have a voice in the company. People are, I can have a seat at the table, speak. Then you start introducing, you know what? I'd rather you start working on that. I'm going to you we're gonna take these hours away from you. You don't have to do this anymore and focus on that. It's not even saying, hey, you know what? I want to just take your job away. It's like, I want you to start doing this. I'm going to take that away from you. Mm-hmm. When we start noticing things like that, however the approach is, however you want to approach them, when you show that employee that you can give, that they can be more valued, they don't care about the automation. And we haven't seen, the only companies that we've seen that have really cut heads are those enterprise type companies, because obviously as an investor, you want to lower that overhead and stack the pockets of those. But small businesses like to grow and they need people to grow. And if you already have a team that's been there, they built this relationship with, they're the ones that are going to help you grow. They're going to be the voice of your company. How can you put them in position to help that? If you have a bad employee that's doing paperwork that has a bad attitude or whatever, then hey, about to take care of you, you're out of here, right? You don't need that atmosphere. But good people, good employees, good character people always end up being more valued because that company sees the value that they bring. And that's what we know. That's what I love about small businesses, because they see that. That was more when automation first started, that was the biggest thing. Like, you're taking my job away. You're taking my job away. But you're not really taking a job away. It's just, it's something like the assembly line for Ford. Remember, Ford was kicking out back in the 1930s or 20s, one car every month or every week, whatever. They put that assembly line, they were kicking them out every single day. But they had to hire more people because each person had a certain part of that company. You went down the assembly line, I did this, I put the wheels on, I put the engine in, I put the frame on, I put the windows on, I put the steering wheel. Everybody had a part of that winning car, that car to come out looking beautiful at the end. That's the same thing with automation. It's almost like an assembly line. Get them off, put them where they're valued and what they can do, and you're going to see where your company can grow.
Yeah.
So you take that mentality, especially the way technology is nowadays, people are really mentally going to start kicking into that. Especially, I'm on the borderline of baby boomers. Like, I'm 53, so I'm on that borderline. So I understand that mentality. I understand Gen Y, Gen Z. I understand how they think totally different as well. So for them to be able to, they're already adjusting. People are in 20s and 30s already adjusting to their technology. So none of them want to push paper. Like, I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to do that. I want to do something where I can just focus on being creative and visual. Automation and technology can help you with that. So we're already leaning towards that. But for those of that are still in that baby boomer stage like us, and then those are the ones that are like, hey, my job will be gone. No, because you bring a lot of value to anyone. You bring a lot of knowledge, a lot of experience. Where can that be? Where can we expose that?
Yeah, that makes sense. And I feel like I was, my question was misguided, because I was thinking along the lines of change management for the employee. But I guess after your explanation, it's actually change management from the management side of things. Once you streamline these processes, where are you going to reposition these people and where are their strengths, which maybe a lot of companies haven't necessarily looked at what their employees' strengths really are, and putting them in a position that they can shine, that they can grow in and create new innovation or, you know, more sales or what have you, is a better use for their time rather than what they might have been doing right now, plugging away, entering information onto the computer. So I guess, it's more, you should be looking at it more from the manager's standpoint and getting them ready to shift people in these various different locations as well. So
you should shift them, and the individual should already think about if you're scared of losing your job, you didn't go into growing up thinking that you're going to be able to sit behind a computer all day. Where do you see that is it this job? Is it this opportunity for me to leave? Is it an opportunity to do something else? There's different things as an individual you got to really think about as well, because you can't be replaced. Those things can't be replaced, right? But as an individual, you got to figure out, where am I valued? Where can I be? Where can people see who I really am, what skill set really is? It's changing. That the whole business concept is changing. And now that people are building their businesses to automate it so they can do other things like invest or spend more time with their family and things like that. So we're starting to see a lot of that now.
Yeah, that's cool. That's very cool. Would you say that there is a certain level of company that a company needs to be able to be at before your products and services would make sense to them from a cost standpoint? Are they the $1 million, $500,000? I know we touched on it before, but I'm just curious where those breakpoints are where a company should be at this level before they look at starting to try to deploy something like this.
Not really. But what I can say is if you have processes that you're already doing, you know, that you already built in your company, look into those, see what part of that could be automated, even if you're a solopreneur. But what I can say, not a dollar amount as far as revenue for a company, what I can say is size of company. If you have 5, 10, 15, 20 clients, the more employees you have, the more automation opportunities you'll see, for sure, mm-hmm. right? But if you have a company that has at least 5 employees, I'm pretty positive you can automate at about 20, 30% of what they're currently doing, right? Because some of them, if not all of them, are behind the computer, even if it's 15 minutes here, 10 minutes here, 5 minutes here, 30 minutes here, all that adds up to a few hours. When you put all that together, you're saving them a third of their day, right? So what's more about employees? So the soft spot for us is if you have 5 employees, you're a great candidate for sure. Yeah. For sure. Because the smaller companies are still trying to put pieces together. They really don't have everything picked out. They're just helping each other, supporting each other, things like that. But if you have a process that's already smooth, that's where to start, because not only do you already automate that, but you understand how it works. So I help you be able to streamline your programs or your processes a lot easier to allow those 3 or 4 employees to grow a lot faster as well.
Yeah, interesting. If someone was looking to deploy something like this, the question would come up, where do we start at? And if someone doesn't necessarily understand what can and can't be automated, again, maybe there's some confusion as to what could be done there. Do you have some type of an onboarding process where you're walking through their current process and pointing things out that could be automated? Or how would someone go about understanding, here's the steps that can be automated versus these are the steps that we still have to do manually?
Yeah, great question. What we do is we always set up a discovery call. We get on a call, something like this, but we send them information out, say, here's what we're going to cover on the discovery call. Here are things to pay attention to. So we have a conversation. We can start figuring out things that you're currently doing. When you just give us an idea of what you're currently doing, we can identify one thing, just one, that can be automated, potentially be automated. Mm-hmm. And that's all you want to start, because now they'll get an idea like, oh, okay, I'm starting to understand how this can happen. And then they'll say, okay, yeah, I want to automate that process. Or, you know what? No, I have a bigger pain point. I want to automate this one. Because now they have a better understanding how it works. So for us, is get on a call with them, share some information about how this automation works, get on a call with them, know who they are, get the story about them, see how their company works, identify something that they can relate to. Mm-hmm. Once they relate to it, that's when the aha moment happens. And then from that point on, just find that process, usually low-hanging fruit. You don't want a real complex one right away. Low-hanging fruit, get up and running right away so you can see it. At that point, the educational part will it'll take off like a rocket. You'll get it. So we look at that, something that's low-hanging, probably takes you a few hours, 2-3 hours a week to do, if that, and then start with that process. Right. And then from that point on, okay, now we can grow from there or go down from there. Say, hey, this one takes 15, that one takes 10, that one takes 2 hours. Now you can start messing around and go from there, but you identified one that you know is going to help you throughout your week.
Yeah. Interesting. And any limitations at all on this? Again, if it's a computer-based system or a computer entry system, all of that can be automated no matter how complicated. If you have some type of a complicated Excel model or something like that, if it's a matter of data entry and clicking here and entering in specific numbers, it can be automated. Yeah.
Yeah. There's no limitations. If it can be put on a computer, it can be automated.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how complex, how difficult the Excel spreadsheet might be. It might have 1,000 tabs. None of that matters. You could be a CRM that has 1,500 entries. It really doesn't matter, or 5 entries. It really doesn't matter. So if it's on a computer and all those programs can fit on there, and it doesn't have to even fit on that. It can just be on multiple computers. But if it could be put on a computer and you have to do it on a computer, then the bot can do it.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. Wilton, if people want to learn more about you, your products, the bots, the services, what would be the best way to get in touch?
I think for us, we're really heavy on LinkedIn, and we do try to do a lot of education. We're not really into the selling mode. It's more, hey, education, educated. When you're ready, you can reach out to us. That's the best way to reach us, honestly. We're changing our website up a little bit. You can go to our website and contact us there as well. But our whole team is on LinkedIn. So if you ping us there and our website too, someone will get the notification right away and get back to you. But the best way to do it is LinkedIn. If you follow me, I post daily. We have a Simply Automate page there that we post daily. And that's probably the easiest way to get a hold of us, to get a hold of me. And then from that point on, we'll figure out what we need to do the next steps. But the important thing is that if you have a business and you haven't heard of robotic process automation or RPA, or you haven't implemented it, then you're missing out on a lot of opportunities to automate a lot of processes that you're still currently doing.
Yeah, I love it. And just real quick, the domain is simplyautomate.ai, correct?
Yes, simplyautomate.ai.
That's beautiful. Correct. Beautiful. Excellent. Wilton, this has been fantastic. I know that there's going to be a lot of business owners that are going to be wondering what they can do to their business to be able to make it more streamlined and efficient. So this is great information.
Matt, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for inviting me and having me on. It's been fun. It's been a lot of fun to share a story. So thank you.